It's All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Richard Hake. Opening arguments were today in the most comprehensive legal challenge to the city's stop and frisk policy to date. It's a federal civil rights class action suit that says police overwhelmingly target blacks and Latinos and that the tactic is unconstitutional. The city says stop and frisk have driven down crime to record lows. WNYC's Kathleen Horan was in the PAC courtroom today and she joins us now. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Richard.
So what did we learn about how each side plans to argue this case? This is expected to take around a month, right?
That's right. Well, each side laid out their case in as passionate a way as they could. Lead attorney for the plaintiffs argued that evidence will prove quotas is one of the key factors driving the high number of stops. He also said that the reasons officers usually give for making stops, the boxes they check off in these forms,
each person gets stopped and the individual officer has to actually fill off a checklist.
That's right. It's called a UF-250. So they'll often check off a high crime area, or they'll say that the suspect is making furtive movements. And he says these are faulty reasons. And he said the justification the city makes for doing so many stops, recovering guns, doesn't hold up because police only recover about 0.15%.
Okay, now how did the attorneys for the city respond to this? Because we've heard Mayor Bloomberg and Police Commissioner Kelly saying that this has driven crime down and taken guns off the street.
That's correct. So city lawyers say there's already level after level of monitoring, training, supervision of stop and frisk. And they say when it's warranted, they investigate and discipline officers. The city's lawyers also shot down quota allegations, calling the accusations a sideshow. And instead, they asserted that like any employer, the NYPD needed to create job performance goals to make sure employees, in this case officers, are doing their jobs and not slacking off. So they were saying there's no way the department is interested in numbers just for numbers' sake.
Now, I read that there will be hundreds of witnesses called in this case. Were any called today?
About 80 to 100 witnesses are expected. Yes, two were called. One was 16-year-old Devin Almanor. He testified about an incident when he was 13. He recalled being stopped, questioned, frisked, and handcuffed. And he was taken into custody briefly while on the way home in Upper Manhattan. He recalled crying while in custody and said he was scared. Under cross-examination, city lawyers asked him about being out on his own after 9, whether his height made him look older, and if his cell phone created a bulge in his pocket that might resemble a gun. Testimony ended with David Floyd, the former Bronx resident, who testified about two separate incidents of being stopped and frisked and detained by officers. And the trial will pick up with him tomorrow morning.
Now, Kathleen, this is the second time that this specific judge, U.S. District Court Judge Shira Shindlin, is hearing a stop and frisk case. What makes this one different?
Well, it's broader than any challenge so far against stop and frisk, and it's challenging the legality of stops anywhere and everywhere in the city. And she's not ruling on whether stop and frisk will continue, but how it will continue. So she could require that the city carries out the tactic in different ways. She could impose very specialized training. And she could also require an outside monitor, which is what plaintiffs really want.
Okay, this trial we could see change to stop and frisk here in New York City. WNYC's Kathleen Horan, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Richard.